Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the spiritual roots of depression. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Just as long as one identifies oneself with his emotions, just as long as one interprets life in terms of his moods and feelings, just as long as one reacts to desire, just so long will he have his moments of despair, darkness, doubt, distress, and depression. They're due to the glamour of the emotional plane, which reverses and deceives. Why does it seem that more people are depressed today than ever before? Or is that just how it seems?
Well, I suppose each person would answer that according to their own perception, but it does seem that we hear a lot more about depression today. And just the other day, I was riding on the subway, and I listened or overheard a man telling another person, who I believe was a complete stranger until that moment, of how he had never really recovered from September 11th. And I think that has made a major impact on many people, but that's not the only circumstance. This nation is at war, and there are many cleavages in relationships on a global level, let alone what's happening on the personal level between a lot of people. There's probably more awareness of depression because there's more awareness of personality. But at the same time, this particular society is founded on the intrinsic belief that all people have a right to the pursuit of happiness. It's ingrained in our Declaration of Independence, I think, by Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers. So I suppose we feel obligated to be happy, in a sense. And if we're not happy, to pursue it, and if we aren't obtaining it, what's wrong with us? Maybe a better term than the pursuit of happiness would be the pursuit of fulfillment or the pursuit of self-realization or something like that. I was thinking about depression, and I thought, well, I'll Google it and see what comes up. So I went on the Internet, and I found the National Institute of Mental Health, which has all kinds of suggestions for depression. Many of them require taking a pill.
Well, and of course, that's the answer most of the time.
Well, if you really suffer from clinical depression, which, as I understand it, is a major and very serious disease, by all means seek medical help and take a pill if your physician suggests it. That's crippling. And people who suffer from depression on that level, as I understand it, have difficulty just getting out of bed and getting on with their life. There's another type of depression that is just kind of a free-floating angst and melancholia that many of us are probably familiar with, perhaps briefly, perhaps for years at a time. And I think that's the level of depression we're talking about here today. What was interesting to me was that the website of the National Institute for Mental Health listed a number of things to do about this level of depression. Many of them were sensible, but nowhere did they suggest seeking spiritual help or looking for a spiritual cause.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Couldn't they have said, while maintaining separation of church and state, see a religious counselor if you are so inclined? Is that so terrible? But there was no suggestion like that.
No, that's not so terrible. That's just one of the tragedies, I think, of the present system, medical system, that there isn't this recognition of the soul, and if there is, why they don't give it much credence or too much power that having any control over our lives. But in fact, as we know from our studies with the Alice Bailey teachings, that there is a tremendous amount of cause there by the soul. It is the presence of the soul that is causing this what is called friction. And a lot of the friction that we have in our lives is this trying to strive for the good. And she describes it as the good, searching for the good. And people are always searching to better themselves. And when they don't, then they get depressed. And they have this fear of failure and this sense of failure. And this leads to depression. But there is very little... Very little striving to find any spiritual roots to it, which is the title of this program, The Spiritual Roots of Depression, and that's what we really want to get at today.
The opening thought, which came from Alice Bailey, mentioned glamour. She said that distress, doubt, darkness, and depression are due to glamour, the glamour of the emotional plane, which reverses and deceives. We've talked on recent programs about glamour, and to refresh everyone's memory, that's the term from the Alice Bailey writings for the distorted view of oneself, of life, of the world, that is the view that's colored by emotion and feeling and desire. We might think we're thinking a pure thought, or that we have a pure mentally based idea of reality, but quite often it's actually a mixture of personal desire, feeling, emotion, and some degree of the mind. And the combination of the two is what creates what we call glamour. We're not talking about the glamour of Hollywood movies. We're talking about the glamour of the distorted fog through which many of us view the world. And this is a major factor in the creation of depression. I think Alice Bailey would say that as the mind develops and the educational level, the spirit of inquiry develops in the human being, so does the capacity to generate more glamour. And perhaps that's why there's more depression today.
Well, yes, I think we have our, as the mind begins to develop and gain more control over our lives and the way we think, and it begins to become a power unto itself, and there is a striving for a betterment, for always something better. And I think that is actually an impulse that comes by way of the soul, this striving for betterment, because this is what the soul is trying to do also, but not in the way that we might understand it. But it is this striving for betterment, or trying to produce a more perfect instrument in this physical world, that creates that problem when it comes into contact with the personality life.
One feature, one essential quality of the soul is light. And as we develop spiritually, as we move forward in our evolutionary progress, we bring in light. And that sounds so lovely. But one of the first effects of light is that it shines on the lower aspects of the personality, first of all. It doesn't necessarily bring a vision of God or illumination of the really highest levels of life. It first shines upon our equipment, so to speak, our vehicles, our emotional, mental, and physical habits and customs, and all that we have created over countless lifetimes as a personality is illumined by this inpouring light of the soul. And that's where a lot of the glamour arises, because we might, as a striving soul, get a glimpse of an inner spiritual reality that awakens and stimulates and inspires us. But then, unfortunately, all the light seems to do at first is shine upon how unworthy we are of attaining that light, of how much within us is unredeemed and unrefined. And, well, we can all choose our adjectives. A few come to my mind. It's not a pretty sight. And this can be, to the sensitive seeker, overwhelming if they're not careful. It reveals a great deal of work to be done, we could say.
Mm-hmm. And that is the result of the, and that is a product of the friction mm-hmm. that's created by the soul imposing its energies on the personality life and the mind and the astral nature of the personality, and the inability of that personality to measure up to what it perceives as being striving for the good. It never quite makes it, I think, and that's where discouragement sets in.
Well, maybe you shouldn't say it never quite makes it. It doesn't yeah. quite attain the vision that it sees at that particular moment.
Yeah.
And we have a sense of time that says I must attain this vision I glimpse right now, or if not tomorrow, today, tomorrow. We want it very, very fast, and that's the nature of human beings. Once we get our mind set on something, we want to achieve it. I suppose the soul, from its perspective, sees life as not an eternity exactly, but with all the time in the world. It's the frustrated, prideful personality that wants instant gratification. Again, it's probably desire at work, isn't it? The desire to be mm-hmm. seen as better than we really are.
And it's the desire of the soul that comes in conflict with the desire of that outer personality nature, the expression that it has created in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that never seems to measure up to the... doesn't always seem to measure up to the real demands of the soul that it kind of senses. There is this inner sense that I want to be better, I want to produce something better, and then you can't quite make it, and the business fails, so it's my fault, etc., etc. So one falls into a deep depression over that. But that's really not what the soul is concerned about, really.
No, that's focusing on the outer aspects of life, and the soul is often concerned with elements that are pure quality and not outer events and relationships. But they seem very real, and they are meaningful to us as we live our lives on the outer planes. And as Alice Bailey said, all mystics, all spiritual seekers can bear witness to this period, but it is just a cycle that has to be lived through, as she put it, until the pure light of day drives away all the shadows and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if the person who is opening up to the spiritual life sees too much all at once. I suppose it would be the equivalent of going from a darkened room into a spotlight, and you're momentarily a bit blinded. And it leaves you not very satisfied with the room you just left, which was more comfortable, because darkness is often comfortable. But it also doesn't reveal, or it doesn't verify, that you have attained what you have glimpsed. You just see a bit of an opening, an aperture. And this is what serves for the seeker as enough to draw him forward if he doesn't give in to depression. And here we're talking about the attitude of the little self. The soul, I suppose, is not the least bit discouraged. It's just our prideful egotistical little self that perhaps would like to be better, more beautiful, more wise than it really is. And if we put all of our eggs into that basket, we can feel rather discouraged. But for the soul, the progress might be more than encouraging.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the spiritual roots of depression. And we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19. Now, the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. And what you need to do, though, is write a little notation, say that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So, once again, Serving Humanity, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, is available today for $19. Serving Humanity, a little bit about Serving Humanity, it's an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. So once again, send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, $19 check or money order to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Now, we have a website. The website is www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. And all of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website. Also, you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And we also have a toll-free number if you need to get in contact with us for any reason, if you'd like to know about meditation meetings, or if you'd like a general package of information about Lucis Trust. Most frequently asked question, is it a religion? No, it's not. It's a spiritual philosophy organization. People from all religious backgrounds meet with us and talk about common themes of spiritual development. The toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And we appreciate those tax-deductible donations that you send. We certainly have been putting them to good use. Those donations is what keep us on the air. So if you'd like to continue donating, and we hope you do, send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. As you were talking, I was thinking about spiritual roots of depression. I just couldn't help but think about something I heard just yesterday. And a friend of mine seemed very depressed, and I said, "What's wrong? What's going on with you?" And he said, "You know," he said, "I'm all alone." He said, "My mother and father have moved off to Florida, and here I am, 35 years old. They've moved off to Florida, and I've broken up with my wife, and my kid is gone too, and my sisters and brothers, they're off in Texas someplace on some job they've got." But he felt, I guess, all of a sudden it hit him, it impacted him, that he felt such a feeling of solitude. And I also thought about what you're saying, that sometimes with depression, too, we have an inner desire for spiritual development that we don't acknowledge. And is that more or less what you're saying, too, that we want to develop spiritually, we're kind of not acknowledging that deep need within us to develop along spiritual lines?
Well, I think you're right. There are many causes of depression, and I think one of them can be, as you said, an indication that there's a hunger that's not being met. A hunger for something, for relationship, as in the case of your friend who has to build a new, I'm trying to think of my vocabulary fails me from time to time. He has to build a new field of relationships for...
And that's so common today. Everybody's family is all over the world today.
They all run off to somewhere else, and it can be quite a devastating period for him, and I wish him well. But as you say, another type of depression can be the sense of a kind of an emptiness that... One might have attained all of one's material goals, perhaps his professional goals even, and yet wonder what's missing. Hmm. And that can be, I think, a kind of a wake-up call. Depression can be, in a sense, a healthy sign that somebody, in this case the soul, is observant and prompting the recognition of more to be attained in life. If we were fat and happy all the time, like slugs, would we ever grow? Probably not. Yeah. And yet, as I said early on, I think we are conditioned to believe that we should be happy. Happiness is certainly preferable to sadness, but we're sort of driven to it in this society, and if we don't attain it, we wonder how we've failed. And sometimes depression can be a positive provocation if it leads us to change.
Well, the pursuit of happiness is so, it's right ingrained in our constitution, and so it's kind of what people are expected to pursue, some form of happiness, and that usually is some kind of material happiness. And I think that's the least happiness that one can acquire, because eventually you realize that this material happiness doesn't bring you happiness. It may bring you a lot of pain and grief.
But maybe everybody has to find that out for himself.
Well, exactly. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's all the testing period, and I think that's why there is so much dissatisfaction, because a lot of people are finding that out, that it doesn't bring them real happiness at all. It doesn't bring them fulfillment.
There's another cause of depression, which is, I think, an over preoccupation with the personal self. And I notice in the present times that there is a lot of focus on the individual. I mean, there are even magazines called Self.
Oh, you're absolutely right. There is, yeah.
It's all about me these days. And it can cause one to be overly aware of oneself and what one thinks one should have, and of course it helps one to recognize what one doesn't have and probably believes he should have. And it's all a bit too much focus on the personal self that opens the door to self-pity. And that, of course, is a major ailment of the very privileged. I think people who are truly struggling, for example, people who live in third world countries and so on, don't suffer from self-pity. They're too busy trying to survive, literally to stay alive, free from disease, free from starvation and so on. But the more affluent societies probably allow enough time to focus on the self, and that can let in a tendency to depression. But all things, I think, have their constructive side, and perhaps that's just a phase toward a greater spiritual sensitivity. It might be one more path to the realization of the soul, the undying inner nature. We all come through that doorway, I think, through different ways.
And I think the realization of the soul is really what has to be discussed today more and more, because the soul is who we are, essentially, and at the spiritual angle. And if there is a recognition more of the soul and the part that it plays in our life and the effects that it has on it, the very subtle effects, then I think it opens up a whole new, for example, a whole new way of psychology. There aren't too many psychotherapists out there today, I don't think, that are bringing or employing the nature of the soul or the position of the soul, or even mentioning the soul in people's ailments and diseases. And I think that's one of the great drawbacks that needs to be corrected.
Well, one psychologist who did was Roberto Assagioli, mm-hmm. who founded a method of psychology called psychosynthesis, and he emphasized the transcendent self as the path to health and the path away from depression. And he had a series of exercises in his teachings that caused people to periodically remind themselves, I am not my thoughts, I am not my feelings, I am not my physical sensations, I have thoughts, I have feelings, I have sensations, but they do not define or express who I really am. And this disengagement between what we feel and sense and even think and what our true nature as the soul is, I think, an important step on the path to mental health and well-being. The writings of Alice Bailey gave a bit of advice on this line. She said, cultivate happiness, knowing that depression and an overmorbid investigation of motive and undue sensitiveness to the criticism of others leads to a condition where the person is almost useless. Happiness is based on confidence in the God within, she said, on a true and just appreciation of time and a forgetfulness of self. She said, take all the glad things that may come as trusts to be used to spread joy, and rebel not at happiness and pleasure in service. Suffering comes, she said, as the lower self rebels. Control that lower self, eliminate desire, and all is joy. So with that thought, maybe we can continue this discussion in another program. It's such a fascinating topic.
Well, it sure sounds like a wonderful idea. At any rate, please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19. The special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Just attach a little note saying you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. A little bit about Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of true service and why it's so important to spiritual development. Would they be able to find out more about spiritual roots of depression from the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity?
Yes, I believe there is a chapter or two on discouragement in there, mm-hmm. which is closely aligned with depression.
Okay, well, that would certainly relate to today's discussion. So what you need to do is send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.